right, we should be live. Nathan Bunnett, episode 44. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time. It is time to finally make our March Madness bracket. Selection Sunday was yesterday, and I am so hype. I've been waiting ever since it hit February to make my March Madness bracket. So I am so freaking hype. Let's go ahead and get into it, guys. Let me go ahead and pull up Chrome here so y'all can see the bracket. We do have some other stuff we might try and touch on today, but this right here is the main thing. So let me go ahead and fix the window real quick. All right, you guys should be able to see that pretty okay. Here, I'll make my webcam a little bit smaller so I can make this bigger. There we go. All right, let's go ahead and get into it. So I'm actually going to start from the bottom right and work my way up. So we got UCLA versus UNCA. UCLA is an easy pick. Gonzaga is an easy pick. UConn's an easy pick. St. Mary's. Arkansas and Illinois is a bit of a toss-up. I'll actually come back to that one. Kansas is easy. TCU. Gonzaga is going to be TCU. Northwest versus Boise. Hot take, I'm going to take Boise on that. So there's been a lot of upsets this in regular season college basketball, so I'm actually probably going to end up having a lot of upsets in my bracket as well. Houston, Iowa, Auburn again is a bit of a toss-up. Miami, UI, Iowa State, Xavier. Do I want to vote for Texas A&M? I hate Texas A&M with a passion. That's why I don't want to pick them. But UT versus A&M will be a pretty sick fucking game. The problem with this is Colgate has actually been going off a lot this season. But UT is a bit of a powerhouse this season. So if Colgate was playing literally anybody but UT, I would probably honestly go for Colgate. I can see Colgate going like, I could see Colgate going into the second round or even the Sweet 16 if they were not playing UT. But the problem is since they're playing UT, I have to go with UT. But if Colgate wasn't playing UT, man, that would be a hell of a story right there. So, all right, let's go ahead and do the left side, and then we'll come back to Arkansas, Illinois, and then Auburn. So, Bama, I'm going to take West Virginia over Maryland. Let's see here. San Diego, Virginia, Creighton, Baylor, Missouri, Arizona, Purdue is easy. I'm going to take Memphis here. Duke, Tennessee, Kentucky, Kansas State, MSU, and Marquette. All right, so the first round is typically pretty easy to choose, you know. Just like UT and Colgate, you got like number 2 seeds versus 15 seeds. You got number 1 seeds against 16 seeds. That sort of thing. So it's pretty easy to go through the first round, so that's why I sort of went like quick fire with it. But now we get into the harder picks. So I'm actually going to open a new tab here, and I want to see just what auto pick does, to be honest. I just want to see what auto pick does. right. Here is the auto pick bracket. So if we go here, why is it lagging when I scroll? So we got Houston going all the way. We got Miami versus Houston, Houston versus UT, Xavier versus UT, Kansas being beat by UConn, which is surprising. Gonzaga versus UConn, that will be a really good game because they used to have a little bit of a rivalry in the past. Gonzaga going, UCLA versus Gonzaga, TCU, MSU versus Marquette, Marquette versus Kansas State, Purdue going all the way versus Houston, that's sort of what I'm thinking as well, Duke versus Tennessee, and then Purdue, they have UT overtaking Missouri, that's pretty crazy. We have Creighton, Creighton beating Baylor, and let me see why they have that here. Overall three free throw seed, overall winning percentage, opponent efficiency, net ranking, true shooting percentage. Bama going all the way to the four, and. Yeah, I don't have too many problems with this auto pick, to be completely honest. I made a poll in the community tab on YouTube, and I said, who do you think will win March Madness? And I had these three in the poll, Bama, Houston, and Purdue. So I'm not too surprised by those auto picks. Final Four is in Houston, though, which is actually really close to me, so that would be crazy if I end up going, but it's going to be like $2,000 or more for a ticket, so probably not, but one can hope. So let's see why they have San Diego overtaking Virginia. Free throws, seed, winning percentage, opponent efficiency, net ranking, true shooting percentage. Okay, so San Diego does have a bit of an argument against UVA. I honestly really like UVA, so I want them to go further, but based on what they have here, with the stats, I can see San Diego taking it. I am a bit of surprised by UConn going this far. I figured it would be like the four big teams I had was, and I know it's dumb to say because they're all the first seeds, but I had Bama, Purdue, Houston, Kansas, so. But I can't have all the first seeds in the Final Four. I have to have at least some upset. So, let's go back here. And. Let's go ahead and go through the rest of this. So, let's look at the stats for Arkansas versus Illinois. Free throw, 68. Winning percentage, 64. Opponent efficiency, 69. 34. All right, I'm going to go Illinois here because of the opponent efficiency and winning percentage. So, we'll take Kansas over Illinois. We'll take UConn, Gonzaga, UCLA. Let's go look at the UCLA versus Gonzaga. Free throw, overall winning percentage, opponent efficiency. Okay, I'm going to take UCLA here. Overall winning percentage, opponent efficiency, net ranking. Okay, we're going to take Kansas, and then I'm going to take UCLA over Kansas, so that gets one of the first seeds out of the way. Xavier versus UT. This one's a hard one. Xavier and UT are both really good this year. All right, let's take Miami over IU. Houston. Houston versus Miami. Take Houston. Michigan State. Kansas State. I'm gonna take Kansas State all the way to the Elite Eight because Marquise Noel is my fucking boy this year. So I'm always rooting for him. Duke versus Tennessee is going to be an interesting one. Winning percentage, 77 Duke. Opponent efficiency, though, with Tennessee. Opponent efficiency with Tennessee is a lot better, though. Net ranking. Let's go Tennessee because of the opponent efficiency. We'll take Purdue. Purdue will go to the Final Four. Arizona will beat Missouri. Then we'll have... Let's look at Creighton versus Baylor because they had Creighton beating Baylor in the auto pick. Ooh, okay, this may be why right here. Opponent efficiency, 98 Creighton, 105 for Baylor. So, you know what? I'm going to go with the auto pick here. Let's take Creighton over Baylor because of the player efficiency or opponent efficiency. And for those listening to audio, y'all are just going to have to bear with the bracket. So, San Diego... Yeah, let's go San Diego over UVA. Creighton versus Arizona. Let's see. Overall winning percentage, 83 compared to 65. True shooting percentage. Yeah, Arizona's probably going to take that. It'd be a good game, though. Alabama's taking that. It's not even a question. This could be interesting. Hot take. Bama's probably gonna take it, but I wanna be exciting. I wanna shake things up. I'm gonna put San Diego. Bama's probably gonna win. This is not me saying that Bama's gonna lose, but just to shake things up a little bit. Then we have San Diego versus Arizona. So, point efficiency, San Diego, winning percentage, net ranking. Let's go San Diego over Arizona as well. So, San Diego and UCLA are in the Final Four for me. Ooh, that opponent efficiency with UT versus Xavier. The reason I have Xavier pretty high is because they've beaten Villanova a couple times this season. Or they've gotten close, at least. But I don't even see Villanova on the bracket, though. Okay, we're going to take UT. Houston versus UT. Overall winning percentage, 91. Opponent efficiency. Oh, yeah, Houston. Houston's fucking taking this easily. Okay. Okay, we're already at the Final Four. Okay. Purdue versus San Diego. Overall winning percentage. I'm gonna take Purdue here and probably take Houston here. Yeah, we'll take Houston here. Alright. Moment of truth. Purdue versus Houston. Probably the hardest decision. Actually, no. Now that I look at the stats, this is actually pretty easy. Houston takes it. Tiebreaker. Let's do 88 to... Let's do... I'm trying to remember what was it last year. Kansas, what was the score last year? UNC's score? It was like 76, right? Yeah, 72-69. So with Houston, let's do 79 to 71. Because I think it's going to be a high scoring. You know what? Let's change it from 79 to like 76. 76 to 71. So Houston wins by 5 points over Purdue. We got San Diego going all the way to the Final Four, which is pretty crazy. Houston's going all the way. It's no question. Or all the way to the Final Four, at least. It's no question. But I kind of want to have more upsets in here just to make it interesting, make it fun. All right, let's press finish bracket just so we have that bracket done. And then I want to make another bracket just for fun. Like, have a bunch of upsets in it. So what is this one? All right. Why does it say 98% done? Where did I forget to pick somebody? Oh, I forgot to do Auburn versus Illinois. Iowa versus Illinois. Winning percentage, Auburn takes it. Opponent efficiency, Auburn takes it. All right, so we're doing Auburn over Houston. All right, cool. Finish bracket. All right, back to dashboard. So we'll delete this one. Delete this one. Or no, we won't delete it. We'll just go ahead and use this one. But we got to make this bracket the default bracket and rename it to NBN bracket. Sorry for my alarm. I have work later today and my alarm is going off telling me to get ready. Alright. NBN brackets. We'll rename this one NBN Fun Bracket. And then this one, we're going to have a lot of upsets. So, Bama, West Virginia, San Diego, UVA, Creighton, Baylor, Utah State, Arizona, Purdue. FAU, Duke, Tennessee, Kansas, Kentucky. USC versus MSU. Let's go USC, Marquette. It might be Marquette, but I just say Marquette. Marquette, Kansas State, Tennessee, Bama, San Diego, Creighton, Arizona, Arizona, T- Tennessee. Let's have Tennessee beat Purdue. Kansas State versus Tennessee. Gonna have to take Tennessee because of opponent efficiency. San Diego versus Tennessee. We have Tennessee, Houston, Auburn, Miami. Let's take K-State here, just to be funny. All right, Xavier, PSU versus Texas A&M. Okay, yeah, A&M's taking that. Let's take Colgate again, because Colgate's actually been going off a little bit this season. A&M versus Xavier, Miami, Houston. Kansas, Illinois. Let's check out VCU. How good are they? VCU, UConn, TCU, Gonzaga, Boise, UCLA. UConn versus UCLA. Let's see. Opponent efficiency goes to UCLA. Winning percentage goes to UCLA. Yeah, we'll choose UCLA here. Houston versus UCLA, Houston. And then Tennessee versus Houston. It's going to be Houston. And we'll go 76 to, 67. No, we'll go 64. Again, this is supposed to be, a fun bracket because I wanted to have more upsets in it. I don't think a lot of these teams I picked are going to win for this bracket, but still. So we have, what are some of the craziest upsets we have? We have San Diego beating Alabama, San Diego beating Arizona, Creighton beating Baylor. Those ones were in our actual bracket, though. We have Purdue beating Tennessee. We have USC beating MSU, even though I really like MSU. I have an MSU shirt. We have Boise going up against UCLA. We have VCU versus UConn. We have Colgate versus Texas A&M. Kentucky State versus Miami. Yeah. This is a fun bracket. So, one of the biggest things for me, because again, this season's going to be full of upsets and everything like that. The biggest thing for me when choosing these brackets, honestly, is opponent efficiency, because we see defense a lot more in college versus the NBA. And if you can prevent your opponent from scoring, 80 points in a game, that's going to be of huge benefit. So even if it's a 10th seed versus a 5th seed or whatever the case may be, if the 10th seed has a higher winning percentage and a higher opponent efficiency rating, then I may go for that lower seed, because upsets are a part of March Madness, and I really think that opponent efficiency has a lot to do with it. I picked UVA a while back to win everything, and people thought I was crazy, and then UVA ended up winning it, and that was because they had a really good opponent efficiency rating, and also because I just liked UVA that year. But that's pretty much it for March Madness. I don't have much else to add on it. I just thought it would be fun to do the March Madness bracket live. So some of the other things that I have on here, we're going to talk about Kyrie's post that he made. And what do I mean by that? I'm talking about, where is it? Here it is.
For 3 hours, and you think you know who I am. You see a few posts. Oh, Kai's woke.
Here, let me go back to... Let me pull up Chrome again. Hopefully y'all can see that okay.
For 3 hours and you think you know who I am. You see a few posts. Oh, Kai's woke. Kai got it. Oh, Kai is... Oh, my goodness. He just doesn't fit into the mold of all of the people. And man, he's different. He's crazy. He's arrogant. He's this. He's that. He's this. All from seeing me from 3 hours. You get all that. Kai, what's Kai gonna do this summer? Does Kai like Dallas? What happened in Brooklyn? What happened in Boston? What happened in Cleveland? Why did you leave LeBron? Why did you leave Jason? Why did you leave Katie? Why did you leave all these people? For 3 hours. Get to ask all these legitimate questions. As if 21 hours every day wasn't happening after that. Me, you would think that I'm the cancer in the locker room, as if basketball is an individual sport that one person is supposed to take blame for. It's 15 guys on the team, and I'm the one cancer in the room. That's what it's portrayed as. That's what you guys get. That's what they have fun doing. That's why these older, bitter gentlemen and women keep my name in their mouths every day.
All right, I wanted to let the video play through before I said anything, but he's got a point on some things. He doesn't have a point on a few other things. When he talks about basketball as a team sport, obviously it is. He is right on the fact that basketball is a team sport. And you can't just blame one person when the team fails, because, you know, people have to... Like, the whole team as a whole has to take responsibility when the team loses. But at the same time, you know, like, the team chemistry I talk about all the time. And if there is that one guy in the locker room that's sort of disrupting things, it spreads out like a ripple in the water. And it disrupts the rest of the team. And, you know, it disrupts efficiency on and off the court. And, you know, for people to just say, like, he has a point that the media sort of carries this story about, you know, he's not a team player, and, you know, he's a quote-unquote a cancer on any team, and things like that, and he ruins teams and everything like that. And that there's a lot that happens outside of the game that affects a person. I mean, we look at Ja Morant right now. You know, everything that's being talked about right now is stuff that's happened off the court with him. But at the same time, like, you can't just say, oh, people keep making these assumptions about me without looking at the rest of the team. When you've played on, like, four teams... If you played on four different teams and the same thing is happening, then it's sort of easy to point out where the pattern is there. And it's no question really why he's left each of these teams. You know, I've made videos on it before. The reason he has such an issue on all of these teams consistently is for the same exact reason that I haven't seen anybody else say yet, which is surprising. It's the fact that Kyrie is the second guy. And it's as simple as that. Kyrie hates being the second option on any team. You know, he wants to be celebrated as the first option on whatever team he plays on, because he feels that he is that good and he's earned it. And Kyrie is an amazing player, but whatever team he goes to, he's still not that first option, unless he goes to a very low-seeded team with no all-stars. If we look at Cleveland, he had to play behind LeBron. If we, you know, he literally just listed the teams out right there for you. You know, in Cleveland, he had to play with LeBron. If in Boston, he had to play with the people on the Celtics, like Jason Tatum. When he went to the Nets, he had to play with KD. He had to play with Harden. You know, now he's in Dallas. And we all know who the face of Dallas is. Now he's having to play with Luka. And that's why I could very easily see him leaving Dallas again, because once again, he's the second option behind Luka. So I'm surprised he didn't have anything to say about that. But the reasons why he's left each team has been pretty clear, even if he doesn't outright say it. And that's sort of creates arguments, you know, in the locker room, that creates arguments with coaches about who's going to be the first option, who's going to be the second option. That creates turmoil, that affects team chemistry, like I said, all that good stuff, and sort of stirs the pot a little bit, which is not what teams need. So so once again, that he has some points about, like, you know, you can't just look at me and think you know me and let the media write off with this story. But at the same time, the media story and the opinions and takes that people come to have to stem from somewhere. And the fact that he's played on four different teams and the same thing has happened on every single team, there's a bit of a pattern there that people can pick apart. So, but there's a bit more videos on Kyrie. He's talks about Ja Morant, if I remember, and some other stuff. And I haven't looked at any of these videos yet. I saw that he posted a video and people were tweeting about it. And I said I will react to it on the next podcast episode, which is what I'm doing right now. So I'm looking at all of these for the first time and giving my honest first reactions to them. So this is Kyrie on the Ja Morant situation.
Saw what's going on. Somebody that you barely know. Y'all saw what's going on. Yeah, come on, man. We don't even have to go into Twelski. We don't even have to go into that. We don't have to go into that because Twelski's not the only person that's dealt with real life circumstances. He's not the only one. And he won't be the only one. So guess what I'm gonna do? I'm going to stand and make sure that I'm there for my family and my friends. We all make mistakes. We all do things that we regret. But somehow when you're a celebrity and you're famous, you're underneath different rules. Somebody that you barely know. Y'all saw what's going on. Yeah, come on, man. We don't even have to.
All right, so where do I even begin with this? I'm going to let the video play through one more time because I don't even know where to begin with this.
Go into Twelski. We don't even have to go into that. We don't have to go into that because Twelski's not the only person that's dealt with real life circumstances. He's not the only one. And he won't be the only one. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to stand and make sure that I'm there for my family and my friends.
All right, so he was talking about, you know, celebrities have to live under different rules. They're under a different microscope. He said Ja Morant isn't the only person to have to deal with stuff in real life, all that. I think this just goes back to what I said in the last episode, which is, at the end of the day, Ja Morant is younger. He's going to make mistakes, that sort of thing. And he is right in the fact that celebrities have to live under a different microscope and they are, you know, looked at differently and everything like that. But as somebody with fame, you have to sort of internalize that and realize that, hey, I am going to be looked at under a microscope. I am going to be viewed much more closely, so I have to be more careful about what I'm going to do. But the problem is Ja Morant's young and he doesn't think about that as much, and that's why Shaq in that last video we watched last episode was like, you gotta have that guy there for you, that veteran or that older person that's just in your life to tell you, like, hey, we're not going to do that. You know, that's a bad decision and everything like that. And, you know, these young players are going to make mistakes and they're going to get published everywhere. And with us entering a new era of the NBA soon, with a lot of veterans retiring, you know, we could see a lot more stuff like the Ja Morant stuff coming out with other players. But right now, it's just such a big story that everybody's talking about it with Ja. And, you know, it's becoming this huge story with Ja. But is it going to be that big of a story, you know, when four other players are doing the same thing in like 3 years, you know? It was a big problem with that in the NBA before, back in the early 2000s with, you know, Allen Iverson. And that was why the Malice at the Palace was also a huge deal, is, you know, everybody was saying that the people in the NBA were thugs and, like, everything like that. And the view of the NBA was really skewed, and we could easily see it start skewing a little bit more. And that's also why they're punishing Ja Morant so hard, because they want to sort of deter more people from this happening on a larger scale. You know, they called people in the NBA thugs. They said the NBA was ghetto, like stuff like that. And that's why they initiated a dress code for the NBA. They initiated like all of these rules about what you can and can't do on the court, off the court, in the locker room, so on, to sort of make the NBA seem more civilized, more formal, and less quote-unquote ghetto like people thought. And so with new, younger players coming into the league, you know, with younger minds, they're going to end up making mistakes like this, and we could start to see the narrative of the NBA change again back to what it was in those early 2000s. So we'll just have to see. All right, this is Kyrie on gambling. They have a quote up here. Gambling and sports betting has taken purity and the run fun away from the games. There's a difference between being a diehard fan and supporting your team and loving your team versus somebody that's betting on a parlay or somebody that wants to hit.
You know, gambling and sports betting has completely taken the purity away from and the fun away from the game at times. I'm gonna just be honest with y'all. So, like, work is work, but the support around it can be very distracting. You know what I mean? There's a difference between being a diehard fan and supporting your team and loving your team versus somebody that's betting on a parlay or somebody that wants to hit. And don't get me wrong, I don't want anybody wasting their money on me. But God dang, like, this whole community of gamblers that's come into the game of basketball, y'all tell me what y'all think. Want to gamble? Why don't you gamble on something that makes sense to you? And if you gamble on me, I'm not going to tell you whether it's a good gamble or a bad gamble. I'm just saying, you gambling, you going to win or lose. But that doesn't mean sliding into people's DMs or wishing bad on them or doing the extra shit that goes on, man. That, it blows my mind sometimes. You feel me?
So I didn't even really have to watch the video. I could have just gone off of the quote that's up here because it basically summarizes it. But he has a point. You know, there's a difference between rooting for your team because that's your team and thinking that you're going to get money out of it. And I mean, I'm trying to think of how I can dissect this and really talk about it more, but I mean, it sort of speaks for itself, you know. The whole idea of sports is, that's why I love the Spurs so much, is you got to create a sense of family, community, loyalty, those sorts of things in the world of sports. That's what makes it exciting when you know, a team and a community, you know, make it to the finals or something like that. They have all these fans cheering for them and everything like that. But if you're just hopping from team to team, from player to player every single day because you think you're going to get money for it, you know, you're not loyal to anybody. And that takes the excitement out of, you know, championships and stuff like that, because it's just who people have their money on. You know, it's not somebody that you've been cheering for since, you know, the start of regular season. It's somebody you started cheering for that week when you put money on them. And again, I think that sort of speaks for itself. There isn't that much to add there. I agree with him 100% with that. So okay, this is one of the other things I wanted to talk about. So we're done with the Kyrie stuff. But NBA Deputy Commissioner Mark Tatum is looking to make some tweaks to the All-Star Game. We have to look at the All-Star Game and make some tweaks to ensure that it's an entertaining product for the fans out there. So the question is, what sort of tweaks do they have to make? Because I haven't watched the All-Star Game in like 3 to 4 years probably. Because the problem is there's absolutely no defense. And the problem is they can't really make tweaks with that. That's just sort of something that's been happening league-wide that I've talked about multiple times. And I actually was going to talk about an interview Paul George did talking about that, but I don't know if we'll have time. But it's just a problem league-wide where you know, defense is declining, and with defense declining, you know, nothing seems difficult anymore. Somebody can shoot it from past half court, and it's almost seems easy because nobody's guarding them. Now, I'm not saying me or anybody else can go out there and shoot from half court and make it, but it's going to be a lot more difficult when there's somebody in your face, you know what I mean? And I don't know, y'all let me know in the comments what sort of tweaks y'all would want to see the All-Star Game. But it is kind of crazy that they sort of came out and addressed it and said they're going to change it. But the question is, how are they going to change it? So this one I pulled up because, again, I saw it and I thought it was pretty crazy. But that it just goes back to my conversation about, like, how, like, the whole thing with Ja Morant is becoming a huge story, but I feel like it's just a huge story because they're singling him out, and if they were not to single him out, then this wouldn't be as big of a story as it is right now, and as it probably should, because again, they're just sort of singling him out, and you know, there's plenty of other young players that are going to make mistakes. Maybe not as big a mistake as he has in the past, but I mean, it certainly can happen again. There's other players that can make mistakes and that sort of thing. So, but it just goes to show how nuclear this situation is becoming with Ja. So. And then, do I have one more thing on here? Yes, okay. Paul Pierce said, if the Denver Nuggets see the Lakers, if they see Golden State, they're going to get popped in the first round. And I just wanted to mention this because I think this is one of the worst takes of all time. The Denver Nuggets easily are going to the Western Conference Finals at least. And, I mean, I don't know what else you can say about that. The Denver Nuggets are going to the Western Conference Finals, or at least the second round or the Western Conference Finals, I'll say that. It's, I mean, it's as simple as that. It's easy. So, yeah, this is just a dumb take. But right, I wanted to talk about this as well. I'm going to let the clip play out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know Vegas is saying something different. I don't want to hear anything about Jokic being a front runner for the MVP right now, the way Denver has tailed off. Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it one more time.
Talk about it.
And I'm sorry. That man has got to be right up there, if not number one. Ladies and gentlemen, I know Vegas has a different – I know Vegas is saying something different. I don't want to hear anything about Jokic being a front runner for the MVP right now, the way Denver has tailed off. Joel Embiid. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say it one more time.
Talk about it.
And I'm sorry. That man has got to be right up there, if not number one. Ladies and gentlemen, I know Vegas has a different – I know Vegas is saying something different.
All right, so, yeah. I wanted to scroll through the comments. This is why I pulled the tweet up in the first place, is because of the comments. But Jokic, 35-20, triple-double, ESPN, he's out of the MVP race. The way Denver has tailed off, has a better record than Philadelphia. Sorry, Jokic, you can't win MVP anymore just because the Nuggets lost 3 in a row. Doesn't matter if you won 8 out of the 9 before that. Those 3 games decided it for ESPN. Nah, I disagree with this guy. Yeah, I mean, they're like, Embiid has been playing crazy, but like, Embiid hasn't been playing good enough to beat Jokic. Jokic has been having triple doubles consistently every night, and they're the first seed, the last time I checked, the first seed in the Western Conference. And I haven't heard much about the 76ers. And whenever I have, it's always been about Embiid and Harden, not just about Embiid by himself. So, yeah, this is just an insane take to me. But let's see what else we have in my notes here to talk about real quick. We talked about March Madness. We talked about Kyrie post. Oh, Russell Westbrook got the 9th all-time in assist. I'll talk about that a little bit more next episode, but I just think it goes to show that Russ still has a lot of basketball in him, and people have been doubting him for a while, but at the end of the day, he's a decent point guard that can get assist and facilitate like he needs to. Again, I mentioned the, even though we won't dive into it, the Paul George on offense, and how it's an offensive players league now. We'll talk more about load management next week. And literally as I pressed record this morning, there was a bunch of tweets about the NBA releasing a minimum games rule for awards and everything like that. So I'll talk about that a little bit more next episode, because I do want to talk about that, but I don't know if we'll have time today. So that's all I have for this episode, guys. I will see you guys in the next one. Next episode, like I said, we'll dive more into that sort of stuff. So be sure to stay tuned. Check out all the other videos on the channel or the podcast on Spotify, all that good stuff. We've been getting a lot of views lately, and we also got 500 subs finally. So thank you guys so much for that. The last video got a little bit less views, but I think that's because it had a bunch of copyright strikes on it. So YouTube probably isn't pushing it as much into the algorithm. But yeah, the views have been going crazy recently, and I think that's that luckily has to do a little bit with me being more consistent with uploading as well, which is good. But yeah, I think that's all I have for you guys today. So I will go ahead and see y'all in the next one. Nathan Bennett, episode 44.